Our section scripture lesson, and I should say scripture lessons this morning, we have two of them from Romans chapter 10. Always good to go back to Romans, isn't it? And from, of course, we're following Matthew's gospel lately, and from Matthew chapter 13. I'm sorry, it's Matthew 14. We were in 13 last week. Let us go to Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. And if you're following in the Pew Bible, it is 1098, page 1098. Paul says this, Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May God add his blessing for this reading from Romans. Now from Matthew chapter 14, and this is found on page 948 if you're following in your pew Bible. This follows closely after the lesson we read last week, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why do you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Taken by itself, our lesson from Matthew chapter 14 seems so simple. The Lord is walking across the lake. He just had his quiet time to mourn the loss of John the Baptist. And Peter, always impetuous Peter, says, Lord, call to me and that I can come to you. And of course, Peter walks to him until Peter realizes what he's doing and the waves and the wind, and he gets too self-conscious and begins to sink. There's a lot to this little story. And so we're going to work around it first, and then we're going to confront the story itself. First, I want to talk about misconceptions of faith. I heard or overheard a conversation this week. In fact, I was down here at the farmer's market yesterday, and I overheard a man talking to a woman, and he said, "I've been a good Christian all my life. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss." And she patted him on the back, verbally at least, and said, "Yeah, good, good for you." And being a pastor, I cringed. Is that what being a Christian means? Don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss. And of course, it represents one of the most common misconceptions that crops up over and over again. It's the kind of thing that makes pastors pull their hair out when they hear these kind of things. It's kind of like the time when I heard one of the radio preachers talking about, test yourself, or test the people in your circle. Ask them, what constitutes salvation? When you reach the pearly gates and St. Peter asks you, "Why should I let you in?" What are you going to say? So I took the challenge. I went to the Sunday school class I was teaching, and I asked the class, and they all were seasoned Christians, people that I would trust, would know. I asked them, if St. Peter asks you, "Why should I let you in?" What are you going to say? And to a person, there were about 10 or 12 people there, each and every one says, "I have been good. I've done this and I've done that. I've attended church. I've allowed myself to work as an officer." And I began to pull the hair out. For years, we teach the fact that, salvation is a gift from God. First of all, you don't earn it. And secondly, it's all about Jesus. When St. Peter asks you at the pearly gates, all you got to say is, "I follow Jesus. He's opened this gate for me, by the way, Peter. I follow Jesus." There's so many misconceptions, and sometimes we think it all falls on our shoulders as pastors, as church members. But the fact is, the truth is, that Christ has entrusted these kind of truths, these kinds of things that we need to teach, to the church as a whole. Sometimes we say, leave that to the preacher. He's the one that should know that. Actually, it's for all of us. It is on our shoulders to not only spread the good news of the gospel, but to also make disciples. And making disciples means teaching the doctrines of the church. And helping people grow into mature Christians who know what they believe and on what they stand. A few years ago, I had occasion to invite an acquaintance to a church that I was serving. It's something that I hope many of you do on a regular basis. I just casually said, "Hey, why don't you come visit our church sometime?" And over the years, I've had a lot of different responses to that invitation. When I was serving up in Rockbridge County one time, I was at a gathering, and I said, "Oh, why don't you come visit my church?" And the person said, "I'll visit yours if you'll visit mine." And I said, "Okay, well, where's yours?" It was a Buddhist temple. They had built a Buddhist temple in Rockbridge County. So I didn't know I was committing myself to. But actually, I didn't go to the Buddhist temple for any worship or anything, but I did check in on you know, what their beliefs were, what they were teaching and whatnot. Never did get the woman to come to my church, however. But other people will say, well, I'm attending this church or another, but I've never had this particular response that I had one day. This woman said to me, I go to a church where the plan of salvation is preached each and every Sunday, and I will never go to a church where the plan of salvation is not preached. Well, I thought about that. This woman was clearly under the impression that the church that I was serving was not preaching the plan of salvation, and therefore she would not consider attending. Now, I didn't argue with her. I told her I was glad that she found a church that fed her spiritual hunger. But her comment lingered with me. Do I preach the plan of salvation every week? Should I preach the plan of salvation every week? I had to honestly answer that instead I preach the Bible. And sometimes preaching the Bible does include God's plan of salvation. But more often, the Bible teaches about growing in relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus did outline the plan of salvation many times, but far more often, he taught how to be a faithful child of God in an ongoing relationship with God. The key word here is, or words are, ongoing relationship. An ongoing relationship of faith and obedience and growth. Yes, knowing the plan of salvation was important, and it gets you to that first step of faith. But that's just the beginning. This is the beginning of a relationship which will last throughout eternity. Paul said it in today's lessons from Romans. Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he follows that statement. How then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? What's Paul saying? It's the church. Yes, we are called to faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the central figure, but Jesus Christ has ordained the church to be the place where not only do we bring people to salvation, but where they begin to grow in their relationship with God. The call to salvation is contingent upon there being a fellowship of Christian believers who support the proclamation of the good news. A fellowship of Christian believers who nurture and teach new members. The call to faith is always followed by a call to discipleship, isn't it? The church then growing in faith and grace provides a witness to the community. The church supports the proclamation of the Word of God and demonstrates that Word in the lives of the members as they are faithful. The church is that fellowship that empowers each person to play their part in the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel message. Some teach, some lead music, some take care of the physical plant, others demonstrate the gospel in caring ministries, while all are blessed with a provision to finance the preaching of the gospel and the ongoing work of the church. But none of these functions takes place without further instruction on the nature and design of a life of faith. Of course, and that's taught in our Bible. Now, okay, we've been preaching and talking around the central lesson from Matthew. Let's consider Peter today. Peter has by this time in his relationship with Christ, you know, found the path to salvation. He believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Remember, Jesus told him, you know, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You know, God has revealed this to you, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in order to get out of that boat, to walk on that stormy sea with Jesus, he's got to have a little more than that, doesn't he? He's got to have a little deeper faith. And of course, it's one of those many instances that are documented in Scripture where Peter learned about the need for even deeper faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Peter thought he had it down. If Jesus, with Jesus' help, I can walk on water. Ever feel like you have that kind of faith? With Jesus' help, I can walk on water. Yet fear overcame his faith. So, should we not test our faith? Should we not step out of the boat? Think about it. If Peter had never gotten out of the boat, well, first of all, Peter wouldn't have gotten out of the boat without a relationship with Christ. But if he'd never gotten out of the boat, he'd have never been challenged. He'd never had an opportunity to grow in faith, would he? Every time I come back to this story in Scripture, I'm amazed at what Peter was able to do with just a little bit of faith. Friends, a human being, an ordinary fisherman, walked on water. We forget that sometimes when we read this story. An ordinary Christian got out of the boat and walked on water. Not for long, but with his eyes fixed on Jesus, he walked on water. And once he took account of the storm and the waves, of course, that's when he began to sink. I so rarely hear people talk about this, that a human being walked on water. And people get confused when I tell them that one of the wonderful things about the whole gospel story, the story of Jesus Christ, is he is raised again from the dead. He is alive. That is a live, living human being sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now. A flesh and blood human being. Sure, God as well. But getting back to Peter, his fear did overcome him. He sank. Who wouldn't? I think if I went out on the lake today and tried to walk on water, I'd have the same result probably. Most of us would. If you don't, please let me know. I want to report that as a miracle. But I always like to make the point that for a few precious seconds, Peter walked on water. The other 11 disciples didn't even try. Peter's faith failed him in the face of fear. But you know something? He learned from that. Wouldn't he then begin to understand that with just a little bit stronger faith, he could have overcome his fear, and perhaps he would have walked much farther? Perhaps he would have taken Jesus' hand and walked him back to the boat. Wouldn't his faith be strengthened by that failure? Therein is a wonderful lesson for the church. We sometimes do not step out on faith. I hear it all the time. Someone in the church comes up with a great idea for ministry, and then people start manufacturing reasons why it will never work. Oh, we don't have the money. The people will never accept it. It reminds me of the man in a session meeting. The session was going to vote on whether to spend money to buy a new chandelier. And this elder listened to all the arguments and how much it would cost, etc. And finally, he spoke up and he said, "I'm against it. I'm against it for two reasons. First of all, we don't know how much this thing is going to cost. Way too much money. Second of all, we don't have anybody that knows how to play it. There was always a lot of good reasons not to get out of the boat. And I guess this is true for us personally. If God has put upon your heart to do something in faith, you can say to God, I don't think I can handle that, God. It's beyond my capabilities. It's beyond my my strengths or weaknesses or whatever. But if you get out of the boat and you fix your eyes on Jesus, the chances are that perhaps you might even walk a few steps on that water. And if you get out of the boat to do a Christian ministry, I guarantee you that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be with you, helping you to keep above the water. And I'm using that figuratively. If you're out there walking on faith, God will honor that. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be with you. You still might fail, but what have you learned? You will learn faith lessons along the way. Your strength will grow stronger along the way. And it is true for all of us. We grow in faith as we get out of the boat, as we risk ourselves. Now, risking ourselves might mean, someone asks you to step in and teach a Sunday school class. We're not meeting yet. But praise God, maybe someday the Sunday schools will be meeting again. Someone may come along to you and say, hey, would you like to teach a lesson? Oh, I don't know if I can step out of the boat. That's a little scary. People may not accept me. But you can't fail if you don't try. And if you fail, you learn a good lesson and you try again. And the next time, you might walk a little further on the water than you did the first time. So, we've talked around this principle. We've learned a lot of things about what this story talks about. But let's come back to the church. The primary task of the church is to proclaim the salvation in Jesus Christ. But we're also to equip the saints for the task of ministry before them. We're to build up each and every disciple with a faith that will empower them to get out of the boat when their particular skills and their particular gifts are needed. That we are the church that supports them and empowers them, helps them to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And when a disciple, like Peter, tries and fails, we, the church, are the ones who scoop him or her out of the water and prepare them to step out again. Because remember, we are the hands, the heart of Jesus Christ in this place. This church is the hands and heart of Jesus Christ. That if we see a sister or brother stepping out, we not only support them, but we're ready to pick them up and dust them off if they fall. And that's, of course, always been the blessing of being part of the fellowship of Christ's church. And to him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a prayer, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wisdom of Paul from Romans. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful faith story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter meeting him there. We confess that sometimes we are timid. Getting out of the boat is scary. And there are always a lot of reasons and excuses for not doing it. But by the power of your Spirit and by the support of our sisters and brothers in Christ, help us. Help us to support one another, to have the kind of care that we can pick someone up when they've failed or fallen and dust them off and help them to try again. Thank you, O Lord, for the opportunities that you put before us to build our faith, as you did with Peter. And we pray now in the name of Jesus, continue to guide us and protect us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.